Good morning and welcome to 5 a.m. prayer. To every intercessor, every leader, every believer, every person who has joined us this morning, good morning to each and every one of you. I want you to settle your heart and bring your mind into agreement with what God has given us this time for. We are not here just because waking up early is spiritually impressive. We are here because prayer gives us an intentional opportunity to turn our attention toward God and respond to Him according to what He has revealed. You know, there is such a beautiful, and I call it delicate verse. It's found in the book of Psalm 5 and verse 3. And it says this, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." There's something not only instructive about David's language, but as I've said, for me, it sounds so delicate and so sacred. He says, "I will direct my prayer unto thee." Prayer should have direction. Prayer is not just a release. Good morning to each of you. As you come in, please make sure you mute your lines so that we're recording so we can make sure that everything is clear for everyone. Thank you so very much on this morning. Prayer, it needs a direction. It should have direction. It's not just the release of your emotions. Prayer is not just simply repeatedly describing our problems to God. One layer of prayer is communion with God. I think that most of us know that. But within that communion, we also learn how to bring our thoughts and our desires and our decisions, our requests, our expectations into agreement with what God has spoken. So, this morning, I want us to examine the relationship between, you ready? The Word of God, the life Christ came to give us, and the way the Word becomes a governing strategy for how we live. This morning, before we pray, we have to look at the relationship. We're going to examine just for a moment. We only have a few moments. But in these few moments, let us examine the relationship between, number one, the Word of God. Number two, the life that Christ came to give us. And number three, the way the Word becomes a governing strategy for how we live. Now, Jesus makes an extraordinary declaration in the book of John. Many of us know this, and we're very familiar with this verse. John 10 and 10 says what? That the thief cometh not, but for to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. But wait a minute. There's a colon there. And it says, then, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly. Jesus came that we might have what? He says life. Not just so that we can just exist. He said that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This morning, we are going to examine how the Word of God teaches us to participate responsibly. Did you hear that word? Responsibly in this life. If we're going to live this life, we've got to participate responsibly. So our focus today in prayer is the Word as a strategy for abundant life. The word as a strategy for abundant life. Now, if John 10:10 establishes the kind of life that Jesus came to give us, if you backtrack just a couple of chapters and go to John 6, for those of you that are actually, you know, following me in the word this morning, I know some of you are getting off of work, some of you are preparing for work, so you may not be able to look at the word with me on this morning. But for the ones that are able to, John 6, verse 63, begins to help us understand one of the primary ways that life is communicated to us. Jesus says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. We see that again. And I want you to pay attention to what Jesus connects. I want you to hear the spirit of the Lord this morning. He said, Jesus connects these words. He says, his words, spirit, life. Do you see those three words? I'm going to read John 6:63 one time again, one more time. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He's connecting his words, he's connecting spirit, and he's connecting life. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, Diamond, the words I speak unto you, Pastor Cam, the words that I speak unto you, Katrina, the words I speak unto you, Prophet DeMarcus, they are spirit and they are life. So if Jesus says, I am come, I'm going to wait. I hear some rustling in the background. Take a moment and mute your line on this morning for me. Amen. Thank you so very much. So if Jesus says, I am come, that they might have life. And then Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Then we cannot separate the abundant life Jesus speaks about from the words Jesus speaks. His word is central to how we learn to live the life he came to give us. And this is why the word of God has to become formative in the life of a believer. It has to train the way we think. It has to inform our decisions. It has to shape our prayers and establish our convictions. The word has to teach us how to navigate our life. Now, there is another dimension I want to bring into this conversation. Because we are praying this morning, and prayer requires us to understand that there is more happening than what we perceive with our natural senses. In the beautiful book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse 3, it says these words, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That verse is giving us language this morning. It's giving us language for understanding that the visible reality is not our only reality. There is a realm that we see with our natural eyes, and there is activity that precedes what we eventually see. The spirit realm is not just some casual thing, some casual realm. What becomes visible has not always begun in the visible. And this is where I want to introduce the imagery of contractions. Many of you on this line are mothers. Some of you may not be biological mothers, but you understand contractions. And I'm using the womb metaphorically this morning. Everything that God wants to bring forth in your life does not begin at the moment you finally see it. A woman can carry a child long, long before anyone can see the fullness of what is developing in her womb. Something can be present and developing before there is outward manifestation. And then contractions begin. A contraction tells you that something that has been developing is moving towards manifestation. And I also love the other meaning of the word contract. A contract is an agreement, right? In the legal sense, a contract establishes terms and obligations and rights and responsibilities. So I want you to hold both meanings this morning. There is the contract of what God has spoken, and then there are the contractions that indicate something is preparing to come forth. And so now we have to be biblically responsible here. Our words do not control God. We do not create whatever we desire simply because we say it. The power is not found in our ability to construct language around our personal wishes. Our confidence is in what God has spoken. We bring our words into agreement with His word. We bring our prayers into agreement with His word. We bring our lives into agreement with His word. And when God sends His word, Scripture tells us that His word has an assignment. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11 says these words. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Listen to that language, people of God. The word says, it shall accomplish that which who pleases, not me, God. It shall accomplish that which He pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word has purpose. God's word has an assignment. And when the word of God penetrates our lives, it begins teaching us how to participate in what God desires to accomplish. So when we talk this morning about the word as a strategy for abundant life, we are not talking about quoting scriptures without understanding them. We are talking about allowing what God has said to become so deeply established within us that His word begins governing the way we think, the way we pray, the way we make decisions, and ultimately the way we live. So just three prayer points this morning. Number one, the word of God must become the governing authority for your life. The word of God must become the governing authority for your life. I want you to say that to yourself this morning, that the word of God must become the governing authority for my life. Type it out, write it out, say it out loud. The word of God must become the governing authority for my life. Jesus said, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If Jesus came that we might have life, and He did come, then we have to ask a responsible question. How do we live it? Because having access to something and knowing how to live within it are two different things. Abundant life is not confined to material possessions. Biblical abundance speaks to a life that is governed by Christ. So that includes spiritual vitality, wisdom, peace, obedience, provision, fruitfulness, stewardship, maturity, and the ability to live according to God's intention. Jesus tells us something significant concerning the source of that life. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." If his words are life, then his words have to become part of our strategy for living. There are areas of life where we keep asking God for an answer while ignoring what he has already said. We ask God about our relationship, but Scripture has something to say about relationships. We ask God about money, but Scripture has something to say about money. We ask God, "Give me wisdom," or "I need wisdom in this." Yet Scripture is full of wisdom. We ask God how to respond when we've been offended. How to conduct ourselves in business, how to lead, how to forgive, how to manage our mouth, how to deal with anger, and how to make sound decisions. But God has left us with these instructions. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is the word of God. I need you to memorize that. It's in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Scripture teaches us. Scripture corrects us. Scripture furnishes us for life. And that means there should be a growing relationship between what we know from the Word and how we actually live. On Sunday, we were talking about the art of thinking, how we think. We want to know how someone is actually living. All we got to do is listen to what they say, because you say what you think. You live how you think, right? And so we should be on this morning thinking about the Word and living out what the Word says. When God begins preparing Joshua to lead Israel, he gives Joshua a strategy. It's found in Joshua 1:8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein," what? "Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Don't allow this book of law to depart out of your mouth. I want you to pay attention to the progression. The word is in his mouth. The word is being meditated upon, and then the word is being done. God says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then he says, "Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That is a life strategy. God does not tell Joshua simply to possess the book. He tells Joshua how to engage the book. Keep it in your mouth. Meditate upon it. Then do what it says. The meditation was supposed to produce application, and this is where many believers have to grow. The word in our mouth has to eventually affect the decisions we make. The word we study has to eventually affect our relationships. It should affect how we conduct our business, how we handle our money, right? How we parent our children. It should affect what we do when we do not know what to do. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. A lamp helps you see where you are standing. A light helps you navigate where you're going. And there are seasons when that is exactly what we need. We are asking, what should I do? How should I respond? Should I move now? Should I wait? Is this opportunity right for me? Is this relationship healthy? Is this decision wise? And there should become a discipline in the life of us as believers where before we allow our emotions or pressure to answer, we've got to ask, what does God say about it? We used to wear those bracelets when we were young. What would Jesus do? What WWJD? What does God say about it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall, come on and finish it. Notice the words, in all thy ways, not simply what we have categorized as spiritual. God wants access to all our ways. This is where the word becomes a governing strategy. I submit the way I think to him. I submit my decisions to him. I submit the way I interpret what is happening around me to him. And as the word gives me greater understanding, the expectation should be that my decisions begin to become mature. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. When the word enters our life, understanding begins to enter with it. And when understanding increases, you should not continue navigating life with the same level of ignorance. I believe there are people who have developed incredible survival skills. You have learned how to survive pressure. You have learned how to function in difficult environments. You have learned how to keep moving when circumstances were not favorable. And thank God that you survived. But survival skills cannot be the only skills you carry into every season of your life. There's a difference between knowing how to survive something and knowing how to build something. There's a difference between surviving financially and knowing how to steward your resources. There's a difference between surviving relational dysfunction and learning how to maintain healthy relationships. God is going to take some people from survival skills to life skills to success skills. Come on, I'm moving from survival skills to life skills to success skills. Say that to yourself. I'm moving, or I've moved from survival skills to life skills to success skills. And the word helps us to do that because the word teaches us wisdom. It teaches us discipline. It teaches us how to govern ourselves, how to have patience and discernment. So the question this morning, do I know my scripture? Do I know scripture? Has scripture been given enough authority in my life to change how I live? I need you to think about that. We're getting ready to pray. Has scripture been given enough authority in my life to change how I live? Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The word of God must shape both our faith and our prayers. Faith has to be fed. Oh my God, I need somebody to hear that this morning. Faith has to be fed. Oh, my God, just like your body has to be fed, so does your faith. And scripture tells us what feeds it, the word of God. What you continually hear is so important because hearing is forming something in you. There are environments that continually feed fear. There are conversations that feed unbelief. There are things we can expose ourselves to repeatedly until we do not realize how much they are influencing the way we expect life to turn out. But scripture tells us faith is going to come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I want my faith muscles to become stronger, then I have to consistently expose myself to the word of God. The word reminds me who God is. The word teaches me his character. The word shows me his faithfulness. The word allows me to understand his ways. And you cannot consistently trust someone you refuse to know. And this is why our spiritual growth has to remain a priority. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinner. I love this. I love this psalm. It's one of my favorite. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice that the person who meditates on the word becomes planted. There is stability produced in him. He is not uprooted every time something changes. He is not completely destabilized by every report. His roots have gone somewhere. That is what the word does. It gives the believer roots. And when you become rooted in the word, it begins to affect the way you pray. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Come on. You got to look at the order there. If ye abide in me, then my words abide in you. And then he speaks about asking. So the prayer life Jesus describes develops out of abiding. As I abide in Christ and his words abide in me, something starts happening to what I ask for. Come on. My prayer life begins to mature because his word begins forming my desires. His word begins correcting my expectation. His word teaches me how to pray in agreement with his will. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. There is confidence attached to alignment. So I have to know what God says. If I need wisdom, James 1 and 5 tells me, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If I need direction, Psalm 32 and 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in thy way, in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. If I need healing, I'm going to go to Psalm 107 and 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. If I'm fearing and fear is trying to govern me, then I'm going to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If my mind is troubled, Isaiah 26 and 3 tells me that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. The word begins giving me language and direction to our prayers. I got to go back a little bit to spiritual contractions, because there are things that God has spoken whose fulfillment you may not see yet. But it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Faith understands that what is not visible is not automatically non-existent, but our faith must remain attached to God and to what God has said. That's going to be important. We are not inventing promises and then asking God to fulfill our imagination. We are standing on what he has already revealed. When we pray this morning, when we pray what God has spoken, believe what God has spoken and continue obeying what God has spoken. There can be movement occurring before manifestation becomes visible. That is the contraction. Something is moving. Come on. Something is moving. I need you to say that this morning. Something is moving. Something is being prepared. And because you cannot see it yet does not mean God is not active. Something is moving. Come on. Something is being prepared. Something is moving. Something is being prepared. Something is moving. Something is being prepared. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Due season means there is timing attached to manifestation. So between the word and the manifestation, there's got to be a process. Something is moving. Something is being prepared. Faith learns how to remain submitted during that process. Something is moving. Something is being prepared. Something is moving. Something is being prepared. So I say to you, we're getting ready to pray. I want to ask a question. And I want this question to remain with you throughout the day. What does God say about it? What does God say about it? God, he's a lot of different things. But in this moment, think of God as your heavenly Father. A good father does not only provide. A good father also teaches. Psalm 32 and 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shall go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God intends to instruct his children. And when we remain deeply connected to Christ and his teaching, those teachings begin to shape the prayers we pray and the life we build. The word becomes the way we think. It becomes how we discern. It becomes how we're going to make our decisions. So may we spend the rest of our lives meditating on the Word of God, allowing the Word to penetrate us, not allowing it to slide off us, but it to penetrate us, to shape us, to correct us, to teach us how to navigate every season of our lives. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit ourselves this morning again to the authority of your word. Your word declares, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Father, let your word illuminate every area where we need clarity on this morning, where our thinking has moved outside of your wisdom. Father, correct us today. Where our emotions have been the governing decisions in our life, where your word, your truth should be the governing decision in our life. God, we're praying that you would realign us this morning. Realign us this morning. Realign us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, where experience has taught us something contrary to what you have spoken. Give us the courage to believe you above what we've experienced. Teach us how to submit every area of our lives to your instruction this morning. We submit our relationships again. We submit our decisions this morning. We submit our finances. We submit our leadership, our future, God. Let your word govern us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bring our emotions subject to your word on this morning. We bring every part of our being subject to the light of God. We're praying this morning that your word would enter into our hearts, Lord God, and that it would enlighten us. It would illuminate, Lord God, within us, oh God, in the matchless name of Jesus. Romans 10:17 declares, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're praying this morning that you would strengthen our faith, oh God. Give us an appetite for your word. God, I pray this morning, oh God, Lord God, for the hunger of your people, that hungry hunger, Lord God, is increasing in us even right now as we're praying. Lord God, we're not just listening. We're also praying. We're also believing. We're also declaring what you have already said. And we're declaring, Lord God, that as we speak your word, as we understand your word, as we critically think on your word, our appetite for more is increasing on this morning, for reading more. Lord God, for thinking and meditating on the word more, it is increasing, Father. Deliver us from feeding constantly on information that produces fear while neglecting the truth that produces faith, Father. Lord God, we declare today that we will feed our faith the word of God. Strengthen our ability to hear you, Father. Let your word become louder within us than every report that contradicts your character. God, where disappointment has weakened faith, Father, we're praying this morning, oh God, that you strengthen us. Where delay has produced weariness in us, Father, we're praying that you would renew us, oh God. Where circumstances have challenged what we believe about you, God, we're praying, God, that you would return us to what you have spoken. Build our faith muscles through continual exposure to your word. In the name of Jesus, help us, oh God, not to just think that we are repeating, Lord God, the word, and it is just going aimlessly. Father, as we're repeating the word, we're giving our prayers and our words direction on this morning. We're thanking you, oh God, Lord God, that as we pray, that the words that are coming out of our mouth, Lord God, that the direction, oh God, that they're going in is going to land, it's going to hit the target on this morning. We're thanking you on this morning that your word is accomplishing its assignment in our lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus, where your word comes to correct. Lord God, we receive the correction. Where your word comes to heal, we receive the healing, oh God. We thank you that healing is taking place. Lord God, where your word exposes something that must change, Lord God, we thank you on this morning that you are giving us the humility to change. Where your word is developing us for what is ahead. Lord God, we're thanking you, oh God, that your work, oh God, Lord God, is completed in our life. We do not want to just hear only. We want to become doers of your word. Let revelation produce, Lord God, transformation in us this morning. Let the revelation, oh God, that we have heard, Lord God, even though we may have not heard anything new, we thank you, Lord God, that what has come from what we've already heard is revelation, and it is produced transformation in me today, in the name of Jesus. Father, teach us how to pray according to your will. Lord God, this is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, that you are hearing us. Lord God, we know, Lord God, that it is your will, because your word is your will. Lord God, and your will is your word. Lord God, bring our desires into alignment. Bring our expectations into the alignment of your will. Bring our plans into alignment with your will. As your word abides in us, oh God, let our prayer language mature, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Remove requests that have been driven by our ego. Remove requests that are being driven by fear. Teach us to desire what you desire. Teach us to ask according to your will, God. And God, give us confidence when we know that what we are praying is consistent with what you have spoken, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you have kept us alive through every season we had to survive. Thank you for the grace that sustained us when we did not have all of the tools we have now, but develop us, oh God, beyond survival. Give us life skills. Give us success skills. Teach us wisdom. Teach us how to steward well. Teach us discipline and sound decision making, oh God. Let your word bring understanding into every area where we have lacked instruction. Teach us what we were never taught before. Give us new strategies for new seasons. Do not allow us to use survival mechanisms to manage environments that require maturity, in the name of Jesus. Father, give us wisdom on this morning, oh God, the wisdom that we need, oh God, to navigate navigate this life. Lord God, you said of any man, though God lacketh in wisdom, all we have to do is ask and the Father will give us liberally. And so we thanking you this morning for wisdom, God, concerning wealth, wisdom, God, concerning ownership, wisdom, God, concerning investments and property, wisdom concerning business and expansion, where you are increasing us, oh God, increase our capacity to steward these things, where you are opening opportunities, God, give us discernment to know when, to know how, to know when to move, to know how to move. Do not allow excitement to move us ahead of wisdom, oh God. Make us diligent. Teach us how to research. Teach us when to move, when to wait. Connect us to sound counsel, God. And if you place, oh God, if you place greater resources in our hand, give us the wisdom to handle them in a way that honors you, God. Father, concerning what you have spoken, we come into agreement with your word on this morning. We refuse to manufacture promises. We refuse to force outcomes. But where you have genuinely spoken, strengthen us to remain faithful until manifestation. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Father, give us grace for the space between the promise and the manifestation. Let there be spiritual contractions around what you have ordained. Let what has been developing begin to move according to your timing. Let what you have planted mature, Father. Let what you have spoken accomplish its assignment. Let every counterfeit manifestation be exposed before we mistake it for your promise. I need you all to pray that right there, that every counterfeit, Lord God, is being exposed in the name of Jesus. I don't care how pretty it looks. I don't care if it's something that we've asked for. If it's counterfeit, Lord God, let us not mistake it for your promise. We want what comes from you. We want what comes from you, not from a counterfeit source. We want what is produced according to your will, Father, even if it's not something that we've asked. Lord God, we want what you want, Father, in the name of Mamansorebakalabaansaya. We want what you want, Father. We desire what you desire, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that our desires become enmeshed, Lord God, with your desire, Father, where we are one. Lord God, that we don't have not one desire outside of what you desire, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you on this morning, Lord God, that you are producing according to your will in our lives, in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord God, I'm praying this morning for anyone under the sound of my voice that is in need of healing and deliverance. Oh God, your word has already told us that you sent it, Lord God, to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. Lord God, thank you for the word that you has already been sent out, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, and as we are praying this morning, we're thanking you, oh God, for sending your word into our minds, your word into our homes, Lord God. Thank you for angels on this morning, oh God, as we are praying, oh God, that are delivering, oh God, the word into our wounded places. We thank you, Lord God, for angels that are delivering the word into areas of confusion. Lord God, we thank you for angels, Lord God, that are delivering the word into destructive patterns and cycles, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Where there has been sickness, Lord God, we thank you for your word. Where there has been bondage, we thank you for your word. Where there has been disorder, we thank you for that the word has already been sent. Lord God, let your truth enter places where lives have lived too long, God. Thank you, Lord God, for healing according to your word, restoration according to your word, in the matchless name of Jesus. And Father, as we close this prayer, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we close by bringing ourselves into agreement with Joshua 1 and 8. Lord God, let your word remain in our mouths today and forever. Let your word occupy our minds today and forever. Let your word govern our actions today and forever. Let your word shape our prayers today and forever. Let your word strengthen our faith today and forever. Let your word govern our stewardship and our decisions, oh God. Teach us how to use your word as a strategy for the life you have entrusted us to live, oh God. Father, when we do not know what to do, train us to return return. Lord God, back to the question you asked. What does God say about it? Let your word be our lamp. Let your word be our light. Let your word establish us so deeply that the life we live becomes evidence that your truth has taken root in us. And it's in the name, the only name that can save us, the only name that has power. It's in the name of Jesus. We do pray and we thank you. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah on this morning. We thank God for the word of God that gives life and gives it abundantly. Abundant life, amen. His words are spirit and they are life. And as we pray the word of God, you need to know that every time you pray the word, it is spirit and it is life. And that the word of God, when it goes out, it's going to accomplish what it's been set out to do. And so that's why it behooves us all not to speak frivolously, not to speak from a place of emotion, not to speak from a place of what we see with our natural eyes, but keep the word in our mouth and let us meditate on it day and night. Amen. We have done very good time on this morning. It is 5:45 for anybody that is getting themselves ready for work. We're going to open up the line on this morning. If this word resonated with you, or if you have a testimony you would like to share on this morning, the line is now open. You may unmute at this time. Will there be one on this morning? If you have a testimony that you'd like to share, if the word of God pierced your heart on this morning, it may have just been a reminder, but it's a great reminder for us all. Amen. We have to take God's word and use it as strategy, because he has come that we might have life and have this life more abundantly. The abundant life comes from the word of God. The word of God comes into our life and it transforms our life. It transforms our life. Amen. So that we can live this life abundantly. If there would be one that would like to come forth on this morning, the line is now open. You may unmute.
Good morning, everyone. This is Katrina. I just wanted to say that this word was sharp this morning, very sharp, and it was a great reminder of, you know, the word of God must be the governing. It must govern our lives. And we must meditate on that word so we can be planted. It keeps us planted, and it moves us from just survival skills. For a long time, I know myself, I have been in survival mode. But the word of God moves me from survival mode to life skills to success skills. And this was a great reminder this morning, and it just resonated in my spirit really well this morning. And I just thank you for this, and I can't wait to go back to be able to, you know, listen to the replay so I can really, you know, meditate on this word this morning that you brought forth to us. And I just appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Love you dearly. I'm so glad that you used the word meditate, because I don't think that we meditate enough as Christians. We're meditating, actually. We are meditating on something, but we don't meditate enough on the word of God. Let me be very specific. We'll meditate on we'll worry about something. Worrying is a form of meditation. We're thinking about something that is bothering us. We're fretting over it. We know that you're worrying about it, or you're meditating on it, because that's all you're talking about. When you're talking to people, they'll let you know what they've been meditating on based on what they say. And if they're not saying anything, their actions will tell you what they're meditating on. But if we just spent more time meditating on the word, repeating in our mind, what did the Lord say? What does his promises say? What does his instructions give me? What is the wisdom of the Lord? If we meditate on that, it will shift us. It will shift us out of the pain we're in. It'll shift us out of the fear that tries to plague our hearts. It'll shift us from that spirit of rejection that tries to come upon us, right? We're meditating on something, but what exactly are we meditating on? And so you're right, Katrina. This is a good reminder for us all. Getting us all at, you know, what's today? Today is the 19th, on August 19th at 5:49 in the morning, right? We started this journey, some of us around 4 something this morning, right? It is a reminder this morning to keep the word before us. This is how we should start our day. We should start our day with the word. We should start our day meditating on the word, because it's just going to direct our entire day, right? It's going to just direct our entire day. And it's going to help us that no matter what we experience throughout this day on the 19th, we have the word before us. And that is what we're going to meditate on. Anyone else on this morning? Thank you so much for sharing, Katrina. Anyone else would like to come forth? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, we thank you. We certainly do thank you for joining us on this morning for 5 a.m. corporate prayer. We will, in about 24 hours, we'll have this up on our website. Our website is www.scentmiami.com, www.scent, and that's S-E-N-T, Miami.com. You can go there in about 24 hours, and you can listen to the replay. You can listen to last week's prayer call. And we also, when we did 60 for 60, all of those prayer calls are there as well. So if you want to go back into the archives of different times when we were praying. Amen. Prayer is eternal. I love prayer. Prayer is eternal. It does not end. It impacts us no matter when we listen and agree with it. And so you can go back on and you can listen to this word or any of the other words that was released here on our line. We pray that you have an abundant day. Amen. We pray more grace for your day. Have a great one.